The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha. Homage to the Dharma. Homage to the Sangha. So today, I'm going to talk about working with stress. I hate the word stress. It's like overwhelmed. I just don't like it. It sounds like it's already a complaint before you even start talking about it. But never mind. We're going to talk about working with stress joyfully. For some reason, it seems to be a good thing to talk about. There I was out at the Hermitage, you know, just looking at my mind. And it's surprising how stressed you can be by your own mind. There you are out. There's no one to bother you. You know, it's fine. It's beautiful. It's quiet. And still, there's your own mind. It's a clue. And generally, you know, wherever we are, I think most of us nowadays feel we have too much stress, too much stuff going on in our life, too much to do, too much expected of us. We can't keep up. We're too busy. And we'd like to be rid of all that. We'd like to have less stress, to be peaceful, calm, have our life somewhat under control, not be constantly rushing, trying to keep up with ourselves. Some Buddhist scholars translate the word dukkha, which most people translate as suffering, as stress, which is interesting. They kind of equate suffering with stress, because in a sense, generally, stress means suffering. Something is unsatisfactory. We're not happy with whatever it is because it's hard on us in some way. And it also kind of implies that it's not just the external circumstance, but what we do with it that is part of the stress somehow. So, many of us have a situation of feeling we've got, you know, too much in our life. Too fast, too much to do. If you've got a job, we may be doing 3 times as much as we used to because we've had cutbacks and we're not paid anymore, but we're working more and struggling to just keep up so that we at least have a job, you know. Or if we don't have a job, we're worried because how do we make ends meet? Or all kinds of other things. If we're young, we're all worried about what we're going to do with our life. Here I am, I seem to have all these choices. What am I going to do? We can be all stressed out about that. People are saying, well, what are you going to do? You're going to go to college. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to do the other thing. I remember what it's like. I didn't want to do anything, you know. Well, now none of it appealed to me. And then, yes, how do I make the best use of my life is what it comes down to. You know, when you're young, how do I make the best use of my life? And actually, for any of us, how do I make the best use of my life? It's stressful. We have this sort of expectation, people leaning on us, wondering, you know. If we're older, we're constantly struggling to keep up with life, technology, the internet, emails, panting after everybody else, trying to kind of, you know, just figure out the next thing. Skype, what's that, you know? It's just, you know, expectations that we are trying to live up to, our own and other people's. Now, actually, this isn't new. It's not an accident that the word dukkha has been translated as stress, because people have had dukkha for thousands of years. They say that when the printing press was invented, people were completely stressed out and overwhelmed by the overload of information they suddenly received, just like nowadays. And this is hundreds of years ago. I find that kind of comforting. You know, they got over it. But now, here we are again thinking, how are we going to manage? And same thing, we'll get over it. We hope. Same thing. Just, you know, this life is kind of just having so many animals on the planet together, trying to live, you know, together and do what we do. Stressful. Now, there's a stress of, you know, the kind of huge stress you can have in your life of having some great tragic thing happen. Somebody you love dies or gets sick or you get sick. Or something like the tsunami and the earthquake in Japan. Just awful, unbelievably stressful for those people. You see the pictures of those poor people, just confused, dazed, scared to death, you know. Talk about stress and suffering. It's the uncertainty, you know. What's going to happen to me? Their whole life swept away. It's just, we can't imagine what that's like, actually. But for most of us, stress is just the daily pressure of our lives on the whole. That's what a lot of our dukkha is, actually. It's not so much the huge things. It's the daily pressure of life. But when you do have a huge thing like the tsunami, it puts things in perspective. Here we are worrying about, you know, fixing the roof, and then there's people with their whole town swept away. You know, it really puts it in perspective. Maybe I don't have to worry quite so much. I'm really lucky. I have a house. It's here, you know. And our lives are mostly intact. We have things happen, but by and large, it's not that bad, you know, considering what can happen. The stress comes from both inside and outside. The circumstances of our lives and what we do with them. The events of things that happen to us and our mind. And most of it is our mind. We do what we can about the external things, but it's the mind that's the problem. The external conditions, the pace of life, the internet, cell phones, and all that. It all adds up to quite a lot of pressure. Everything seems to get faster and faster. You know, you send an email to someone, or they send an email to you, and they expect a response in 24 hours, and, you know, didn't you get my email kind of thing? Used in the old days, they'd write you a letter, and you'd kind of write a letter, and you'd mosey down to the mailbox with a reply, and you'd find a stamp and send it off, and it was all in a reasonable way, it seems to us old people, but nowadays it's not the same. Cell phones, you know, got to be available all the time. Something might happen, I might miss something, you know. And trying to be available to everybody, trying to respond to everybody, trying to do what's expected of us, trying constantly. You know? And part of the consequence of this is that we're always somewhere else. We're on the phone talking to somebody else, thinking about something else, which of course is not new. We're not just being with the people we're with, we're on the phone to someone else, you know. And we all know what it's like. You're in an airport or a parking lot and someone's talking very loudly and you know they're on a cell phone, you know, because they have no idea. They completely shut out the world around them. They're on the phone talking to someone else. I've done this myself, out in the woods, peaceful, quiet, beautiful, and I'm bawling on the phone about business to somebody. It doesn't happen very often, but it's happened, and I feel so foolish. Suddenly I look around at these huge silent trees and I'm bawling about some little thing. I think, what am I doing? You know, it's ridiculous. Anyway, and then there's the ongoing worries and concerns of our lives, just the regular, you know, stuff about how do I pay the bills, you know, I'm getting old and sick, or, you know, I haven't got a job, all those ongoing things. But that's the general pressure of stuff. And we have the internal conditions, what we do with it all. We can't just say, oh, life's too pressured, it's not my fault, it's the internet, it's the technology, it's the economy, it's something else. It's us, actually, to a large extent, it's us, because we add to it. We add to all that stuff. It's our own minds being trapped by everybody else's, well, what we think, or other people's expectations. They want me to do this, I have to do that, I've got to do the other thing. Thinking that we have to live up to them. They may not even be having these expectations. We place them on ourselves. And we can't live up to everything. We can't do everything. We can't please everyone. We can't be perfect. Trying to be perfect, trying to do it all right, trying not to make a mistake, trying not to drop the ball, trying to be in control, trying to do everything all at once, you know, for everybody. And actually, we can't, and maybe we don't have to. Maybe all we can do is do our best. And maybe actually, that's all we have to do, because that's all we can do. And if we're constantly striving to do more than we can, it doesn't work. Actually, if we can just back off a little bit and not get swept away in this tide of seeming expectation, but just take a breath and see, what can I actually realistically do here? You know? Or what actually is being asked of me here? Is it what I think? Or actually, is it okay to do something else? You know? Trying to be in control of our life, or to have things the way we want them, to have things turn out the way we'd like, to have our view prevail. I think this is the way we should do it, and if you don't do it, it's not going to work, and, you know, worrying about everything, being anxious about everything, trying to plan for everything, trying to make things safe. If I plan for everything, I think of all the contingencies, I'm ready for anything, it'll be okay. It's not like that. It's never the same. Who in Japan would have thought that all of a sudden a tsunami would wash away their village? They couldn't have worried about that. They couldn't have prepared for it. And then it comes. You actually can't prepare for the future. You can't make yourself safe. You can't do everything. All we can do is do our best and trust. Being resentful or irritable because we feel like too much is being asked of us, even in small ways, just thinking, you know, people are expecting too much of me, feeling overworked, underpaid, and underappreciated. Monks can feel like this. We don't get paid a whole lot. Get paid anything at all, we get fed, which is fine. But getting sort of resentful or feeling like people are taking me for granted and they don't have no idea how much I'm dealing with and what it's like to be me, and, you know. Distraction. The mind is just like a cell phone. My mind is. It'll call me up. Unthinkingly, I answer it. Suddenly, there I am, you know, in some other world. You can be out in the woods. You can be sitting in meditation. You can be standing on a beautiful beach watching the sunset and you're worrying about getting your taxes return in. You know, it's ridiculous. It happens. We do it and we think, what am I doing? When you come to, you know, what am I doing? Here I am in this beautiful place or with people I love, doing something I really like, and I'm somewhere else. You know, just like being on the phone. Hang on a minute. I've got a horrible feeling. Are we all right? The anxiety of having a handkerchief. Okay. So what are we going to do about all this? Well, first the external conditions. Sometimes we can actually simplify. Maybe we don't have to do everything we'd like to do perfectly. Maybe we can't do it all as we have always done it. Maybe we can do a little bit less or a little bit differently. Sometimes we can only do half of what we would have liked to do, but it's a lot better than doing none of it, you know? And I realize that actually just to be able to do a little bit of something is fine. You can't move the whole wood pile, move a little bit. And maybe tomorrow you can move a little bit more, or whatever it might be. You don't have to do all of it. You don't have to do it perfectly. We can just do something. Here at the Abbey, we've got fewer monks than we used to have. So we've had to simplify. And we've been having meetings about how we can do that, and we have ideas. So we get together, and we think, will this work? No, we don't want to do that. Will this work? Yeah, we can do that. And we change some things. And having a smaller community makes us more familial. It brings us together. So it's not an all bad thing. As long as we don't look at it negatively and think, oh, we're helpless, we can't do anything, you know. We just do what we can. We change, we adapt. And we all do this in our lives. We can't do something we used to do, so we do it differently. And there are ways of doing things. It's surprisingly surprising how inventive human beings can be. And sometimes there's a silver lining to it, you know. We can do one thing at a time. This really helps. Not worrying horribly about the things happening later, but just working on, concentrating on what I'm doing right now. Not getting too far ahead of ourselves so that we drop the ball what we're doing now because we're looking at that thing over there. But just thinking, what am I doing right now? Just do this wholeheartedly and thoroughly and not worry too much about that thing later on. Really helps. Pacing ourselves, taking some time to rest, to relax, not just trying to rush and get everything done. Just a few minutes of doing something we really enjoy is remarkably refreshing. You know? It's really nice just to do something we really like, just for a little bit. It doesn't take much. And if you never do that, we just wear ourselves out and become a pain to ourselves and others. Letting go of trying to be perfect, or trying to fulfill all those expectations, our own expectations, just to do what we reasonably can and not to be grasping at some ideal of perfection or trying to do everything. To just back off a bit, take a breath, you know. And of course, our practice, to do our meditation every day, to sit every day, even just for a few minutes, it's enormously helpful. So simple, we say it all the time, it really helps just to do that. And to look at our mind in particular, to look at what the mind is doing, to see what it's up to see how we create a whole lot of stress and pressure for ourselves, to see the anxiety and the worry. You know, some of us are habitual worriers, professional worriers. We'd have PhDs in worry. And to see what we do, you know, what's my mind? What am I actually afraid of here, you know? Do I need to worry about this thing? Can I actually do something about it? Is this something I need to do? Or am I just habitually worrying fruitlessly? Often it's the latter. Just the low-level, constant anxiety about looking for something to worry about. The worry-seeking missile, you know? What can I worry about? And if I'm not worried about something, I should be. I'm missing something, you know? To look at our fears right on. What am I actually afraid of? You know, why do I do this worrying? Because it's like a sort of habitual thing to just let go, you know, work on some of that fear, but to see what am I actually afraid of and to look at it. As I say, don't just do something, sit there, you know. It's harder to just sit there and look at it than simply to do something. To become aware when we've been distracted. As soon as we notice we're distracted, that we're on the phone in our mind to some other life, just come back. Whether we're sitting in meditation or doing something else, whatever it may be, just come back. We don't have to give ourselves a bad time about it, just to come back. We may have to figure things out and think about stuff and all that, but just to come back and be here in this moment is immensely helpful in a thousand ways. The simple thing that we'd say all the time, just letting things come and go, just coming back, just being here in this moment, not constantly somewhere else. And it doesn't help to give ourselves a bad time about, oh, I'm so distracted, my mind is a mess, or look at all this time I've wasted, you know. Getting all stressed about being stressed, or worried about being worried, or fearful about being fearful, and angry about being angry, and all that. Just come back. Just like that. No judgment, just come back. Easier said than done. At any moment, we can do that. We have everything we need right here. We don't have to give ourselves a whole story about how I'm wasting my life because I'm distracted. We can simply come back, just like that. There we are in meditation. We might have spent the whole meditation period on 1,000 phone calls in our mind. And suddenly at the end of it, we think, oh, what am I doing? Just come back. In that last few moments, we can just simply sit there with our whole heart rather than spend that time recriminating against ourselves for wasting our time and thereby compounding it. We can just come back. It's very comforting, by the way, that in all these, you know, these lists of the fetters and the impediments and so forth, distracting thoughts are among the last. Arahants have problems with distracting thoughts. We're in good company. It's not just us. Everybody has trouble with distracting thoughts. So we can accept that and just simply come back and not worry so much. However, having said that, mindfulness is one of the two best antidotes I can think of to stress. Mindfulness just being here in this moment. Because the stress comes when we're living in the past or thinking about the future. When you think about it, when you're right here in this moment, yes, it can be really hard. You have a disaster like a tsunami. Of course, no matter what you do, it's going to be really, really stressful. But by and large, an awful lot of our stress comes about because we're worrying about the past, regretting what we've done or what has happened to us, all that, or worrying about the future. What's going to happen? What should I do with such and such? How am I going to manage this? How am I going to do all these things? What am I going to do about this, that, and the other thing? Instead of just being here right in this very moment, because usually when we're right here in this very moment, actually, it's okay. Actually, we're all right. Here we are. It's all right. The ceiling isn't falling in. We haven't died. Things are all right. It's not so bad. We can cope. But when we're constantly in the past or the future, we feel constantly pulled by things that actually don't exist. All we have actually is this moment right now. And to come back to this moment right now is restful. We just deal with it. Whatever it might be, we just deal with it when we're right here in this moment. I read the other day that most people would rather have pain, physical pain, than uncertainty. It's interesting, because the uncertainty makes people worried about everything. Pain, you just deal with it. Here we are, we have pain. We deal with it. And we have the strength to deal with it. But uncertainty, we get all worried. What's going to happen? It's almost much worse, you know, than, not always, usually much worse than what we can imagine, than what we actually have. What we imagine is worse than what we have. Sometimes things are worse than we can imagine, but not often. And there's no point worrying about it. And the other best antidote to stress is faith. Faith in that which is greater than ourselves, that which sustains us. Faith that we don't have to be in control of everything. I don't have to have everything figured out. I don't have to know what's going on, actually. I can just entrust myself to that which is greater, that which we train for. Just entrust ourselves to that. Resting in the present moment. One of our monks years ago did a talk called Resting in the Present Moment. I can't remember anything she said except that little thing, rest in the present moment. And I've found it helpful ever since. Just, that is actually mindfulness and faith together. Resting in this present moment. Not trying to do something with it, but just being here, taking a breath, right here in this moment, letting go of the past and the future, letting go of everything, just being here in this moment. And then we have something to deal with, we just deal with it and do our best. We're not in control of our life. We live and then we die. There's nothing we can do about that. This is it. All we can do is to entrust ourselves to this very moment, resting in it. Really helpful. And we can do it at any moment. No matter what we've done, no matter how confused we've been, how distracted we've been, how worried, how anxious, how angry, how upset, how deranged, how stressed, how whatever, we can actually come back to this moment right now, even when we're still all worried, stressed, and upset. We can just be here upset, be here worried, whatever it is, just be right here with it. Not in spite of it, not against it, but with it. Resting in the present moment, however comfortable or uncomfortable that moment might be, to come back and just rest within it and trust ourselves to it as though we were resting in a hammock. Just like that. We can do it over and over again. And it doesn't matter what has happened even a moment ago. What have we been doing with our mind, where we've been, how confused or whatever, we can just come back right now and entrust ourselves to this very moment, right now, to notice when we're pulled off center, to be aware that we've been rushed off our feet or worried and so forth. Oh, what am I doing? Just come back. When we are still, we have the sense of being centered, of being upright, kind of, I like the expression rushed off our feet, because it's like you're rushing over here and your feet are back here somewhere because your mind's ahead of you, you know. But when we're centered, our mind is not somewhere else. We're right here, over our feet. Feet are under us, they support us, the ground supports them. Here we are, right here, in this moment, and it's okay. But to notice when you're getting pulled off and to just come back, or when you're feeling depleted, or just, you know how it is, you just feel kind of strung out or crazed, to notice, no judgment, just come back. What am I doing? Just come back. Just be still. It's okay. What do I need to do? Okay. Just come back. This takes practice, but we can do it. Resting in the present moment, stillness in this moment. To remember what's really important, to remember what our purpose is. It's not to get things done, it's not to be efficient, it's not to be living up to other people's expectations or to be perfect or living up to our own expectations. It is actually to entrust ourselves to the great matter, to that which is greater than us, that of which we are all a part, to entrust ourselves to that, to have faith that we are part of that. It's not separate from us. We are part of it. We are within it. It is all of us. And to keep entrusting ourselves to that, with all of our stuff, our busyness, our confusion, our imperfections, our mistakes, the ball we just dropped, the mistake we made, the thing we wish we hadn't done, with all of that is embraced within this present moment, the great matter, that for which we train, that which we turn our heart towards. We keep turning our heart towards it over and over again. Coming back, stillness in this moment, in the center, no matter what. As I said, letting go of the judgment, letting go of all that stuff, just to come back. And we know that fundamentally, it's all right. No matter what has happened, no matter what we've done, no matter what we're worried about, no matter what might happen, here we are in this present moment, and it sustains us. We live and we die. And there's great comfort in that, because we actually are not in control. We're not in charge. It's a jolly good thing. It relieves us of a huge responsibility. All we can do is do our best and entrust ourselves to that which is greater, to leave room for it. Take a breath, come back. Mindfulness and faith. That's what we do. And that's it.